Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, during our Sunday school opening, I was sharing with the children just this incredible story of the Transfiguration, of how Jesus is on this mountaintop with his inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. And while on that mountaintop, Moses and Elijah come and speak with Jesus, and Jesus shines bright as the sun. His clothes turn white as snow. And the question was asked, was this real? And the reality is, what is in the scriptures oftentimes will be so fantastical that we sometimes do ask that question. The concept that there was this man who was on a mountain, and that Moses and Elijah came down from heaven and spoke to him, and that he shone brighter than the sun, and his clothes were turned white, and the Father proclaims, "This is my beloved Son," that you hear the Father proclaim this from on high, does sound fantastical. But it's completely true. Yes, it is outside of our fallen human reason to understand and grasp how this could be. How this Jesus could be God who took on flesh. It was so fantastical that at the time that Peter was writing his epistle, he had to dictate to them, yes, this is true. He writes, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory." Peter had listened to the word of Jesus. Jesus said, "As we are going down this mountain, say nothing to anyone until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." And so this epistle, this letter from St. Peter, is given after our Lord's resurrection. He said, "This is not a fable. This is not a myth. This absolutely happened. I was there." The excellent glory. The Father proclaims the Son. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Peter follows this up and says, "We heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic word confirmed. Everything that Moses and Elijah symbolize, everything that comes from the law and the prophets is absolutely true, and it is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We have seen it with our own eyes. We have heard the voice of the Father confirming that Jesus is the one. "You do well to heed," St. Peter continues, "as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Transfiguration at this time in the church year is really a Lutheran innovation. Properly, Transfiguration has been celebrated by the church in August. But Lutherans, especially American Lutherans, saw the benefit of celebrating the Transfiguration as the last part of the season of Epiphany. And it makes sense. This is absolutely an epiphany of our Lord. This is him revealing his divine majesty. And what's truly incredible is when you look at the very first story that we had for Epiphany season, on the day of Epiphany that we celebrated January 6th, we saw wise men falling down at the feet of Jesus. And here, in our text for the last Sunday in Epiphany, we see wise men falling down at the feet of Jesus. For St. Matthew will record, as well as Mark and Luke, that they fall down in the presence of Jesus. That as they see his divine majesty, something that is beyond our comprehension, something that so lighted up Moses in his presence that he had to wear a veil over his face because it shone so brightly from the Lord. And in reality, that is how we are called to live too. The light of Christ should so be a part of you that it shines brightly to the darkness of this world. That when others see you, they see Jesus. Just as they saw Jesus in Moses. It is absolutely fitting and appropriate that we would watch wise men fall down at the feet of Jesus. We still do this, don't we? We still do this if we're able to get back up again, when we come before the Lord and we kneel to receive his body and his blood. For we are at the foot of his throne, where he comes to give us his supper, his forgiveness, his love, his compassion, his mercy, all for us. No, the prophecies were not made up by men, nor did Peter, James, and John devise them. This comes from God. Yes, it is fantastical, but so is the fact that a man could be put on a cross, could die, and on the third day rise. So is a man walking over water. So is a man who turns water into wine. So is a 12-year-old boy who is so transfixed on the word and the will of his father that he finds himself day after day in the temple. Because a day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, as we heard. This Jesus is fantastical, but not in the way that means that it is myth. It is lore, it is only a legend. It is fantastic, and it is absolutely true. Because this Jesus is no ordinary man. This Jesus is God who took on flesh. This is the same God who took on flesh and was in the womb of a virgin. Something else that makes no logical sense. This Jesus lived a perfect life for sinners like you and like me. This Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King. And so we see him transfigured on that mountaintop. And we oftentimes, like Peter, James, and John, want to stay there. It makes sense that Peter says, "Lord, let us build a tabernacle here so that we can just stay here forever. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just spend all day in church together?" You better say yes. The fact is that this is where God brings us together. This is where we get to hear of his word, where we get to hear that there is something better than what this world has to offer. This is the place that you get to hear of your God's love for you. This is the place where you receive his supper. This is the place where you will sit this afternoon with your brothers and sisters in Christ and remember that you are a family, that he has knit you together, that he has placed you right here and right now for his work, no matter how the playoffs turned out. God is here with us today. We would love to stay here and not have to go back out into the world. We would love to build that tabernacle and never leave, because then we don't have to deal with the world. Then we wouldn't have to deal with the destruction and the death and the disease and the sin and the perversity. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. But he says to go. He says you should come each and every week to hear my word, to receive my gifts, so that you can survive out there. It is absolutely good and proper for us to be here, but we cannot remain here all day, every day, because we must go into the world. There are people that so desperately need the word that God is giving you today. There are people that are so broken in their own sin, and they don't know this Jesus that you hold to, that you cling to, that you tabernacle with, that you receive. They don't know him. They are perishing. They are drowning. And God has given you to them. This year, St. Peter's is celebrating our 160th anniversary. And it's important that he has placed us in Waterford. Waterford is a part of our church's name, after all. St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church, originally of the unaltered Augsburg Confession, Waterford, Racine County, Wisconsin. But that should remind us that the Lord has placed us in this community. Go into all the world. Go and tell begins right here. Your community needs Jesus. And God has planted this church, and he has planted you here to give it to them. They don't know. They do not know this Jesus as you do. And they need him because he is the only hope of salvation. St. Peter's in her history has had two schools, not just one, but two. Because when she was founded, it was necessary and important that Christians, especially Lutherans, would plant a school with the church. Because it was recognized that the end goal was not college, the end goal was not money, the end goal was not this life, the end goal is heaven. And how can we lay the foundation for heaven? Well, the foundation is Jesus. You give them Jesus day after day after day. You teach them Jesus. For he is the truth, he is the way, he is the life. We can talk about how great academics are, but if they are not founded on the truth that is Jesus Christ, if they are not founded on the truth that God so loved the world that he made in 6 days, the world that he set in motion, and the world that he has sent his son to redeem, your academics are not great. They must be Jesus in everything. That is the truth. That's the truth that your forefathers and my forefathers held. And that is why we planted a school with our church. Our children need Jesus every single day. The church exists to assist parents in that. That whether they were at school, whether they were at home, whether they were at church, they would be receiving Jesus, his word, his truth. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here day after day after day. But we can't always be here because he has equipped you to tell others about Jesus. Our Lord told his three not to say it until he had risen. What are we waiting for? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Because if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then that is how we are called to live. That is what we are called to proclaim. If Jesus is risen from the dead and is seated upon his throne, we need to start living like it. And we need to tell them about it too. This Jesus is your Jesus, is my Jesus, and he's their Jesus, even if they don't know him. God has placed you here, in this family, in this community, in the surrounding communities, that you might share the joy and the hope that is found in you. So the church does sing. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.